Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So reads God's word. Tomorrow afternoon, there's due to be a meeting of the Northern Presbytery Ministers Fraternal. Every 6 weeks or so, the ministers in the presbytery, including the retired ministers, get together, and we have lunch together in the Minor Hall in Ballymoney. We have a time of prayer together, and then we either discuss a chapter of a book, or we discuss a small book that we have all been reading. And the book that we're due to be discussing tomorrow at our meeting is a book by Christopher Ashe. It's called The Priority of Preaching. Tomorrow's meeting is due to be led by Joel Lockridge. It will be the third anniversary of Joel's ordination in Clough Mills. In the introduction to this book, the writer talks about a minister's conference that he attended a number of years earlier. And this is what he says. He says, "Some years ago, I remember attending a large conference of ministers. At the time, I was pastoring an ordinary local church, which consisted of mainly ordinary people in a very ordinary place, a village in eastern England. Sad to say, all I can remember of the conference is impressive speakers who all seemed to my jaded eyes to be tall, handsome, successful. Everything I was not. Above all, they seemed to talk a lot about doing strategic work for the gospel of Christ. It all seemed very strategic. They were clearly strategic people in strategic places doing strategic ministry. I, however, being of a melancholic disposition, was quite sure I was not a strategic person, nor was I in a strategic place, and I was most certainly not doing strategic ministry. As I left the conference, like a dog with its tail between its legs, I wondered if it was really worth preparing for Sunday's preaching." And then, a little further on, he says, "This little book is written for ordinary ministers who preach regularly to ordinary people in ordinary places." He says, "Sometimes we are jaded by opposition or by defections or just by the sheer unrelenting slog of church leadership. There is a voice on our shoulders who whispers as we prepare and then as we preach, is it really worth it?" And that's what the book is about that we'll be discussing together tomorrow. Ministers meet to seek to encourage one another and to spur one another on and to help one another in the work that God has called us to. And a big part of that work is the work of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ministers are tempted at times to think, is it really worth it? Does it really accomplish anything? Is the preaching of God's word, is that something that really is relevant in the kind of world we live in today? We're tempted to think, would it not be better to give our time to some other activity, some other way of trying to get the word of God across? Sometimes maybe you've wondered about the same things yourselves. I have had those thoughts from time to time, but I confess that those thoughts never, never come from the Scriptures. It is never because of anything that I have read in the Word of God that makes me wonder, is it really worth it? Those thoughts always come from somewhere else. There are those who are convinced that preaching is not really appropriate for the 21st century. I believe, however, that the arguments that they put forward for that case are not arguments that come from Scripture. But it's important to think of some of the things that people say in terms of why preaching shouldn't really be a part of a modern-day church experience. The first thing I'll say is that people will argue that preaching is usually not very interesting. Preaching is usually not very interesting. This is one of the most common reasons people give for not wanting to listen to sermons, or a reason why the preaching of sermons is not the way for today's church. It may well be the case that preaching is, at least sometimes, not very interesting. That may be the case. There is no preacher in all the world who is able to hold the attention of all the people that he preaches to all of the time. One of the greatest dangers that all preachers face is the danger of trying too hard to get people's attention. And you can try hard to get people's attention by talking about things that will appeal to them, and you end up not really communicating the Word of God, which is what you want to communicate. There are interesting preachers out and about in our world today, as there have always been. There are interesting preachers who have an endless list of anecdotes and stories that they can string together one after another, and people will be interested and people will listen, but it's all getting away from the Word of God that is on the page in front of people, if they have such a thing in front of them. The sermon will bear little resemblance to what is actually there in the Scriptures. Now, in verses 2 to 5 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gives us some of the things that shouldn't be a part of the preaching of God's Word. And at the same time, he indicates some of the qualities of good preaching of God's Word. Just look at a few of the phrases that are used here. Verse 2, Paul says about his own preaching, he describes it as not walking in craftiness. NIV says, a loose translation, we do not use deception. There were other preachers who had come to the city of Corinth, and they were crafty preachers. They were men who used deception. And it was easy to lead people astray in Corinth because they were new to the faith. They didn't have much understanding, much grasp of the Old Testament scriptures. And today also, it's very easy for preachers to lead people astray. People today have so little grasp of what the Word of God actually teaches that they'll believe anything simply because the minister says it's true. Paul says that wasn't the kind of approach that we adopted. We didn't walk in craftiness. We didn't use deception. Another phrase in verse 2, he talks about not handling the Word of God deceitfully. He didn't seek to distort the Word of God, but rather he sought to proclaim what the Word of God actually said. I'm sure there have been times in life when you've heard the Bible, you've heard words from the Bible used to justify something that the Bible itself actually condemns. And people will take hold of things and take them out of context and use them in an utterly distorted way. They handle the Word of God deceitfully. I remember in after a meeting that I spoke at in a free church congregation in Glasgow, talking to a man afterwards who was a homosexual, and he claimed that the love that the Bible says that David had for Jonathan is something that condones homosexuality. And he sought to hang on to that as a hope of something that gave him the right to practice that kind of lifestyle. And yet, when the scriptures speak specifically on that subject, it is always something that is described as a sin. It's usually much stronger words than that. And the relationship between David and Jonathan was one that was pure. People can distort the Word of God, make it say what fits in with what they believe rather than what the Bible is actually teaching. Those are bad things in the preaching of God's Word. But we also have some good things that are spoken of here. Verse 2, he writes about manifestation of the truth, setting the truth forth plainly, making it understandable. Paul, in his preaching, was not someone who waffled and whom people couldn't see what he was getting at. Paul was direct in his preaching. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth plainly. He sometimes said things that were hard to understand, but he also said much that anyone could understand. And when people listened to what Paul had to say, they knew what God required them to do. And that is important in the preaching of God's Word. It is something that's designed, intended to set forth God's truth plainly, to make manifest, to make open and clear what God is saying. Something else here in verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Paul wasn't someone who preached himself. He preached Christ. So there's the wrong thing would be to preach yourself, and there's the right thing, which is to preach Jesus Christ. The apostle would be shocked by some of the modern techniques used by the well-known evangelists in our world at the present time. if he saw the advertising campaigns, if he saw the posters, the billboards, the leaflets with the large photograph of the man himself, Paul would be shocked by such a thing. That gives the impression, come and hear this man, not come and hear the word of God. Paul says, we do not preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And when men are called to preach Christ Jesus, to preach the gospel, it may not always be very interesting. But if a man preaches Christ, if he speaks the truth plainly and clearly, if he doesn't distort the word of God, but uncovers it as it really is, if he doesn't use deception, if he doesn't try to twist things around, well, he may not always be interesting, but he should be worth listening to. Even if it's not said very well, it'll be true what he says. Today, there's rather too much emphasis put upon the preacher. People often go to church with a faulty attitude. James Packer wrote about this a few years ago, and he said then, a century ago and earlier, in Reformed circles in Britain, the common question to a person returning from a service would be how he or she got on under the momentous divine influence of the preaching of the word. But he says, nowadays, the question more commonly asked is how the preacher got on and what is now viewed as his pulpit performance. And so he argues that the whole mindset of people in going to the place of worship has changed. And people used to go with the expectation of hearing God speak to them, but now they go with the mindset of hearing a man and giving him marks out of 10 for how well he does. There may be a lot of not very interesting preaching that is around today and at other times, but if you go to worship with the mindset of just hearing the preacher, well, then the problem is not only in the pulpit. So there are those who would argue that preaching is usually not very interesting. It may not always be very interesting, but it may be absolute truth at the same time. The second line of thought that people have is somewhat more sophisticated, and that is that preaching is the wrong approach in the 21st century. Some very sincere Christians believe that this is the case, and in many church circles, the preaching of God's word has been removed as being the central focus of the time of worship. Preaching has been sidelined in some church situations. And the argument comes from those who are seen as experts that this just is not the way to go about things in our day. Those who are involved in the field of education, of communication, and of psychology, those who appear to be very learned and to have a lot of scientific knowledge behind what they say. And they would say that their research indicates clearly that one-way communication, which is what you have normally in the preaching of God's word, that is a very poor way of teaching people. It has its value. It's something that is good for reinforcing attitudes that are already there. If you come to church with a certain attitude, you'll maybe get it reinforced, and preaching is good for that. If you believe a certain thing, and the preaching can reinforce your belief that you've always had. But, they say, it will hardly ever be something that will bring about a change in a person's opinions. And therefore, it is argued that preaching is useful for speaking to the converted, but it's really not much use at all when you're trying to reach the unconverted. And they would say that, that there is a reason for this. It is a fact of human psychology. It's part of the way we're made, and we need to take on board that in terms of how we go about things. It's just the way people are, and we have to live with those facts. And so they would say that if you want to see people converted, then you've got to get rid of the thought of preaching being the way by which that will ever be accomplished. It has to happen not by one-way communication, but there has to be two-way communication. There has to be conversation. There has to be some kind of group situation. Now, of course, there is ample scope within the life of the church for that. We have meetings, and it's designed to not have one-way communication, but rather communication within a group. But we shouldn't think that 21st century researchers know more than God knows about the way that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be communicated. The Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. He was a preacher of God's word. And great crowds came at times to hear him proclaim the word of God. The Lord Jesus gave to his apostles the task of preaching the gospel of Christ. And the most common word in the New Testament that's used to describe a preacher is the word that means a herald. And a herald is not someone who goes out and holds a discussion with people, but a herald is someone who declares a message. A herald is a one-way communicator. He seeks to get the message out, and that's his task. And that was the way that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that is how he chose that his message should spread throughout the world. And was he wrong? Was Christ wrong in his approach? Did he not know things that today's educationalists know? Would the church be a much larger body, a much stronger body, if a different approach had been adopted by the apostles? Surely Christ, who is our Creator, surely he knows more about communication than anyone else. Jesus is the greatest communication expert that there is. Preaching does not fit into the same category as other things such as teaching. Preaching the gospel is different from teaching French or teaching woodwork or whatever it might be. The situation is much more complex when it comes to the preaching of God's word. Remember the parable of the soils or the sower that Jesus told. The communications expert would tell that parable in a different way from the way that Jesus told it. The communications expert would have four different sowers, and three of those sowers would go out, and there'd be something wrong with their technique. There'd be something wrong with their approach. There'd be something wrong with the way they're going about the sowing. The other one would have the right technique, and he would have success. Now, that's not how Jesus taught the parable. When Jesus told it, there was one sower, there was one message. There was nothing wrong with the one message. But there were four types of soil, and there were four different kinds of response. The problem was never in the seed. The problem was never in the message. The problem was always in the soil. And the soil represents the hearer. And this is where communications experts are not experts. They assume that anyone can respond to the gospel. They assume that anyone will respond to the gospel if only you present it to them in the right way. You got to have the right communication technique, the right method, and if you do it the right way, people will believe. And if they don't believe, well, then it's always the preacher's fault. Now, that's not what Jesus taught. That's not what the Apostle Paul teaches either, here in these verses that we read in 1 Corinthians and also in 2 Corinthians. Paul speaks, for example, in verse 3, of the gospel he preaches being veiled. And he says it is veiled to those who are perishing. He says in verse 4 that the God of this age has blinded their minds, those who don't believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He says something similar in 1 Corinthians 1:18, where he talks about how the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, the same message is the power of God. And so Paul teaches us here that people are veiled, people are blinded to the gospel. They hear the message, but it just seems like foolishness to them. They're preoccupied with things of this age. They're blinded by the things of this age. This age is their God, he says. Things that aren't going to last fully occupy their thoughts. There's no room for the gospel, the glory of Christ. The problem when people don't believe the message is not that preaching is just the wrong approach. That's not the fundamental problem. Preaching is the approach that God commands in the Scriptures. But whenever someone is not converted, whenever they hear the truth, it's because there's a spiritual barrier there. And people put that barrier there themselves. And equally, when someone is converted, when they hear the same message, it's not because of the brilliance of the preacher, but it's because God has caused his light to shine in their hearts. That's what Paul is speaking of in verse 6. God commanded light to shine out of darkness, and God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has chosen the method of the preaching of his word. It's a method which men in their wisdom think is not the way to go about things. And we always have the choice, do we follow the wisdom of the world, or do we follow the wisdom of God, the command of God? God says, how will they believe unless they hear the gospel? And how will they hear the gospel unless it is preached to them? That is God's way. A third line of thought is that simply that people in today's world will not listen. That the thought is that the age that we live in is an age that is particularly unsuited to the preaching of the gospel. That if ever there was a time in the history of the world that the preaching of the gospel is the wrong way to go about things, that this is it. People today have a very, very short attention span. I'll say that again in case you missed it. People today have a very, very short attention span. People aren't used to concentrating for half an hour to someone preaching. And so it's argued that the gospel has to be packaged into little advert length sections. And people aren't used to listening to anything. The words might be there in the background, but people aren't concentrating on the words that are being spoken. People don't remember words. They remember a picture, an image. And that's just the way people are in this day. So it's argued that if ever there was a time when preaching is utterly the wrong approach, this is it. We have to learn, it's argued, from the world of entertainment. We have to learn from the world of advertising as to how we can get our message across. We have to see what they find to be persuasive, and we have to baptize those techniques into the life and experience of the church. And so we need short, sharp drama. We need the kind of music that people are into, and that kind of thing. And in many modern churches, that's what you have. It's music is the way of communicating truth. Drama is the way of communicating truth. And there's very little by way of the preaching of God's word. That's the argument. Many people have bought into that, and that's the way they see it. I don't believe that that is the case. God teaches us in his word the way that he wants things to be done. People today are not all that different from people in other generations. People today are not all that different from what the people were like in New Testament times. In New Testament times, they were quite big into culture. They had their huge open-air theaters that vast numbers of people would go to. But the apostles didn't put on plays in order to get across the message of the gospel. In New Testament times, it wasn't the case that nobody could play musical instruments. But the New Testament churches did not use musical instruments in the worship of God and didn't use that as a way of getting people in for the worship of God. Where God is working in people's hearts, people will listen to the preaching of his word. If God begins to work in a person's heart, they will have a thirst, they will have a hunger for knowing what God wants to say. And if God isn't working in a person's heart, well, they're not going to have that. People will drink in the truth of God's word when God gives them a heart for that word. And people who have a heart for God's word can find a preciousness to the preaching of God's word that just isn't there for those who don't have a heart for it. The two people can listen to the same thing, and one of them will think that was pretty boring, and someone else will drink it in as the word of life. And it's not the message that's wrong. There's different kinds of soil, different kinds of hearts that are there. And so as a preacher of God's word, I have to believe in the preaching of God's word. I believe that the Bible teaches that God wants his word to be preached. God is pleased, we're told in 1 Corinthians. He is pleased through the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. People will believe when they hear the truth preached to them. God is pleased to use the preaching of his word to save those who believe. God was pleased, and God still is pleased. And the preaching of God's word should still be at the heart of all that happens in the Christian church today. And so as the ministers meet tomorrow in Ballymoney, and they think about this little booklet, a short book called The Priority of Preaching. There is much in this for the man to remind us that it is worth it, that it is worth it to preach the word of God. And we are called upon to preach God's word and to look to him as to what he will do with his word. For some, it will be the word of life. For others, it will be the word that condemns them. But always, the preaching of God's word will accomplish his purposes. Amen.